You would, please. Amen. We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land. Climb the steeps and cross the waves. Onward 'tis our Lord's command. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Wafted on the rolling tide, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Tell it to sinners far and wide, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing ye islands of the sea, echo back ye ocean king. Each shall keep her jubilee. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing above the battle strife. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. By his death and endless life, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing it softly through the gloom, when the heart for mercy craves. Sing it triumph over the tomb, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Give the winds a mighty voice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation full and free, highest hills and deepest caves. This our song of victory, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, good evening, and we want to welcome each and every one of you to our service tonight. Let's just pray that what we do here tonight will honor our Lord. That's the only reason to be here, you know, is to honor the blessings that he has done for us, that great blessing of his son, Jesus Christ, who died on a cross for us. And I'm looking out and I'm thinking, if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, if you're sitting here tonight, and as Brother Cummett preached, after 5 minutes after you die and you don't know where you would go, then we need to be up here and take care of that. Amen. Amen. I can stand here confidently and say that when I die, I'll be in the presence of my Lord. Amen. And that's the confidence that you need. And if you don't have that confidence tonight, then tonight's the great night to take care of that. Amen. We're going to turn the service over to the Joneses as they're going to come up and sing for us. And we'll give them liberty to sing. And then Brother Kermit will come and bring the message after that.
Right around 100 dates a year, the past 3 years, and the Lord has done that, and we didn't intend on traveling. We used to travel with the Rochester family, right in Angel Rochester. That's my wife's mom and dad. And the Lord told us to stop doing that, so we did. And He allowed us to start traveling ourselves. And we thank the Lord for that. And this year we're getting out to Oklahoma, and that's as far west as we'll have been. And we go Tennessee, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, Indiana. We just kind of hit all over the place on the east side anyhow. And we thank the Lord for the opportunity to worship Him in song. And we love music. And hope to be a blessing. Thank you, brother, and everybody for letting us come again. Thank you for all those goodies. And that if I can't quite hit the notes I'm supposed to tonight, it's because of all the snacks on the counter over there. Thank you all for that. That's very good. And we'll start off with an old tune I've been singing since I traveled with my family a long time ago. I said, gonna be moving one of these days. This old world's no place to live. Not enough care, not enough giving. Sometimes clouds of sin and sorrow hide the way. But this time the stormy weather ain't gonna be no harder than gonna be moving. One of these days I'm gonna be moving, moving away. Gonna be moving. One of these days when I need to fly behind me, chosen cares are never gonna find me. There won't be no time for crying, no more sickness, toll or dying. Enjoy your weights, maybe my mansion far away. There by the west from all my labor, or it's gonna be my next door neighbor. Gonna be moving one of these days. I'm gonna be moving, moving away.
But I felt His mighty power
when he set my spirit free. And one day I'll see him and look on his face, and I'll thank him and praise him for his marvelous grace. And I'll hear him say, song is called Up for the Blood. Thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. Why are you still here? What did I tell you? I don't know what I said. I've had a lot of coffee this afternoon and a really good nap. So. Great is the love, they are my was his enemy. He knew how I would be, and then knowing who I was going to be after I was saved. I'm amazed that he'd save me and show me grace, but then after the fact he'd save me and then he'd keep me. This song here says, he knew that I would fail him from the start, but still he loved me with all of his heart. Also, too, real quick, we do have a couple CDs, but I know it's not the CD. CDs are gone now. But we do have our stuff on iTunes and things. We actually just released this song last Friday. They call it a single. But anyway, so it's on YouTube and things like that. But anyway, the song's called All of Your Heart.
You knew that I would fail you from want to be on that day?
Let's do a 20 seconds and I say this up maybe. And maybe that's been good. I don't have my phone up here. I don't know if there's a clock. We don't want our nostrils not far away, but it ain't close, so we want to be able to sing a little bit. But we also don't want to butt into nobody's preaching time or somebody's I didn't want to go home time. We'll do a song. How many of you all are familiar with the Rochester family, the Southern Gospel group? My wife's dad wrote this song in his probably, I think, late 80s, early 90s. He wrote this song called One of These Days. And her dad also wrote a song called No One Else. And those are some of my favorite Rochester songs. But we'll go back into the old stuff here. This was called One of These Days. And this was written by Brady Rochester. Thank you all for watching those ones over there. Appreciate it. Brother, we'll go ahead and finish up with this song right here.
That'd be all right.
Thank you again, church. It's so good to meet you all. And we hope to maybe be able to come back sometime. And that missions house is beautiful. Thank you so much for letting us stay there. And I appreciate your kindness and hospitality.
Jesus, the Nazarene.
you, my brother.
Good to meet
God
you.
God bless you. That's great, great. Wasn't that good? Amen. I wonder. Before I get started, anybody else got one on your heart you want to sing? Yeah, I just soon to rewind me sitting down. I read the Bible. The Bible says one place, it said, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourself in psalms, hymns, spiritual singing, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. I think we don't have enough saints. I love good singing. And that was good singing. That's young people that's given their talents, and God has blessed them and given them talents, hadn't he? And my goodness, by the way, I talked to your pastor a little while ago, and I got wrapped up in that singing, I plumb lost my place in the Bible. And but I'll find it. He was asking me about the singing and the singers, and I was telling him how good they did. I believe they did better tonight than they did this morning, too. So next time I talk to him, I'll sure. And by the way, he asked me to tell you all, he said hi, and he is hoping. He failed his COVID test, by the way, again, and he's hoping to get another test tomorrow, and hopefully, he said, hopefully, that if he gets that, he's hoping to get out of there by Thursday, and then he'll, by the grace of God, he'll be back with you next Sunday. And he said, you guys pray me back. I said, we're going to do it, we're going to start tonight, and if you don't pray you back, you may have to listen to me again next Sunday. So you're going to pray real hard, aren't you? Just kidding. But pray for Brother Dave and the fellows that's with him. I know that's got to be. And he was telling me, he said, now we're not even supposed to get out of the room. Can't even get out. They're quarantined. But he said, I couldn't take it. And him and the other fellow slipped outside, got a little sunshine, I guess, and got to breathe a little clean air outside. So I can imagine, only imagine what they're going through. I told him Charlotte's praying for good weather so I can get out of the house. And I'm praying with her, by the way. I don't like to be shut. I can only imagine what they're going through. Well, I'm glad to be here, and glad those songs. Those are good songs. They spoke, and some of them spoke to kind of along the line that I'm kind of, I think, going to be preaching tonight. Brother said that I've got a full battery, and I can preach as long as I want to. And so, but Charlotte said, Kermit, there's a clock back there right over the door. And so I'll do my best to not to preach more than an hour, and then we'll go from there. And then we might have some more good special singing. But tonight I just thank God. Oh, by the way, I meant to tell something this morning. And the atmosphere just wasn't right or something. By the way, did you preachers rightly divide what I told you to last week? It's in there. I was going to tell you this morning, somewhere, I was talking about we're sure going to die. I mean, that is a sure thing. If the Lord tarries his coming, I'm hoping the Lord will come. We're supposed to pray every time we pray, come, Lord Jesus. It would be so great if the Lord would come. Now, you sure nobody wants to? Charlotte, you want to sing one for me? Brenda, you want to sing one tonight? Now, okay, yeah, sure they do. Come on. I hope it won't hold these folks up that's going back to Knoxville. Maybe they can stay overnight and drive back tomorrow. But I was going to tell you, somewhere there is a tombstone, and it has an epitaph on it. And it says something like this: "Strangers, as you pass here by me, pause. Because as you are now, I once was too, you see. And as I am now, you soon shall be. So make preparation to follow me." And one day this fellow walked by there and he had a piece of chalk in his hand. He saw that and he stopped. And he wrote under it and he said this: "My friend, I wish you well, whether up in heaven or down in hell. But to follow you, I will not consent till I find out which way you went." Now they're going to sing. That's what they're saying.
Why me, Lord? What have I ever done to deserve even one of the pleasures I've known? Tell me, Lord, what did I ever do that was worth loving you and the kindness you've shown? Lord, help me, Jesus. I've wasted it, so help me, Jesus. I know what I am, and now that I know that I've needed you, so help me, Jesus. My soul's in your hand. Try me, Lord. If you think there's a way I can try to repay all I've taken from you, maybe, Lord, I can show someone else what I've been through myself on my way back to you. Lord, help me, Jesus. I've wasted it, so help me, Jesus. I know what I am, and now that I know that I've needed you, so help me, Jesus. My soul's in your hand, Jesus. My soul's in your hand.
When you finally make your entrance to that city, you're singing up your preaching time.
Well, that's all we want you to sing, what you have on your heart. All right. Now, that saved you about 10 minutes of preaching. Turn with me in the 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. And I hope this is what the Lord will want. Verse 19 as a starting point. Verse 19, I hope that I can make some sense out of the message, or you can make some sense out of the message time I get through. This is a starting point, and I've got many things on my heart. And my father-in-law told me one time, he said, Brother Kerm said, when you get up to preach, and that's when I first started out preaching. He said, if you kind of don't know which way to go, he said, you get up there and he said, you just throw the book at them. And then in a few minutes, you'll settle down and get on what the Lord wants you on. But I've been thinking all day and trying, because I don't want to ever try to do this alone. I, without Jordan, son, without the Holy Ghost, without the Holy Spirit of God directing us and getting in it, well, it'd all be in vain. But this kind of, because of the times that we're living in and because of the things that are happening, I think that this would be maybe appropriate. In the 19th verse of the 15th chapter, it says this: if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. And Father, we come to you now in Jesus' precious name, and we thank you and we praise you. We thank you that you love us, Father. I thank God for that song that they sung. You love us with all your heart. And you proved your love towards us, and that you went to Calvary and died on Calvary's cross and shed your precious blood for us, that we might have hope, Father. And that, God, that we might be able to have that as an anchor for our soul. It's both sure and steadfast, and that reaches to that within the veil. Whether our forerunner, Jesus Christ our Lord, has entered for us, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. We thank you, Father, and we praise you for all that you have done for us this day, and, Father, for what you're going to do. And, Lord, I thank you so much that in these days we still can laugh and we can enjoy your presence. And, Father, that hope that we have in us, God, that it will be certainly an anchor for our souls as we face uncertain days. Now, Lord, we do pray, God, for our country. We pray, Lord, for a revival that will sweep our land. And, God, we know that it's got to be through our churches. And I pray that God, there'll be a Holy Ghost revival that will sweep our churches in Scott County and in our state, and then, Lord, it'll spread throughout our nation. Because we know, Lord, that except the Lord keep the city, except God keep the city, the watchman watch in vain. But, Lord, tonight we trust that your people are everywhere tonight looking to you and praying to you, Father, for the situation in Ukraine. And the it seems like, God, that almost for sure there's going to be a war there. I pray, oh God, that somehow, that Lord, that you'd speak to hearts and turn hearts, Lord, before it's too late. We thank you and we praise you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank God there's a place called heaven. Amen. It's real. And I heard Charlotte earlier this evening was sitting over at the piano playing that song and singing it a little bit. And I think, man, that's real. I mean, that's a real place. There's the real atmosphere and all that. And I might get to a little bit of that tonight. But if in this life only we have hope of Christ, we're of all men most miserable. In the beginning of that chapter, and I think this is one, and by the way, I loved that song that he loved me. Revelation chapter 1:5 says from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the beginning of the creation of God, to him that loved us and washed us in his own blood. My goodness, isn't that ought to thrill every one of us? It doesn't say that he washed us and then loved us. It says he loved us and then he washed us. Oh, I love that. My goodness, he knew all about me. Sang that song. Just think about me. If you knew all about me, everything about me, you probably wouldn't want me to preach to you. And if I knew all about you, I probably wouldn't want to preach to you. But Jesus knows all about us. And he loves us anyway. I don't know about you. Sometimes that just blows me away. That he loves us anyway. In spite of all. But if in this life only we had hope of Christ, we'd be of all men most miserable. In the beginning, I said the Apostle Paul just had one sermon outline that he kept with him. And he preached it everywhere he went. And he said in that first, moreover, brethren, I deliver unto you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached to you, lest you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and he was seen of Cephas and then of the 12. And he said after that he was seen of above 500 brethren, of whom the greater part remain unto this present time. And he's talking about Paul's time. But he said some are falling asleep. And after that, he said he was seen of James and all the apostles. And he said, last of all, he was seen of me as one that is born out of due time, for I am the least of all the apostles, and I'm not worthy or not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Nevertheless, he said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And this grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was within me. So then, whether it were I or are they, so we preach, and so you believe. Now, if Christ be preached that here among you that he rose again from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But he said, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then it's not Christ, or Christ is not raised. And if Christ be not raised, then your preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain. And yea, and we are found to be false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is Christ not raised. And if Christ be not raised, you're yet in your sins. Our faith is vain, and you're yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. He said, if in this life only we have hope of Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now listen to what he said next time. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and is become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall every man be made alive, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, and afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Now, Revelation chapter 20 and verse 6, I'm going to get this before I get into that other just a little bit. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 6, the Bible said, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death shall have no hurt. Amen? Because they will be priests of God and of Christ and so forth. But he said, blessed are they that have part in the first resurrection. Now, when I think about the first resurrection, we think about, it's Christ's resurrection. It's noted in Scripture as the first resurrection. I know that in the Old Testament there were resurrections. Matter of fact, I remember that old Elijah, you read the story over there, and Elijah, a man full of the Spirit of God. And when he died, they took him, buried him in a cave, and years later, they were out there, the Israelites, and somebody had died, and they were out there going to bury him, and the enemy army came up, and they got scared, and they just throwed him in the cave. And his body rolled up against the bones of Elijah, and Elijah's bones still had so much spirit in it that, bless God, when he touched it, he revived and came alive again. And so he was resurrected. Elijah had so much spirit. Wouldn't you like to have that spirit? Hey, man. Wouldn't you like to have enough spirit so if somebody touched you, they could feel it? Amen. Have you ever seen anybody that you thought, man, you just get next to them, and they're so full of it, it just bounces off on you? I'd like to have that. And we know that Elijah raised the widow's son. And we know that Jesus, when he was walking the earth, he raised the dead. He raised the only son of a widow woman over in Nain. He stopped a funeral procession, took him by the hand and raised him up. And we all know about the resurrection and heard of the resurrection of Lazarus after he had been dead 4 days. Jesus came and he resurrected him, called him forth from the grave. He had resurrection power then. But the first resurrection has to do with Christ's resurrection. Out of all those other resurrections, those that were resurrected died again. Except for Jesus. Now, I know Enoch and Elijah. Elijah's taken up in a whirlwind, and Enoch was just taken, translated. But they're the only two that I know of in the history that didn't taste death as most mortals do. And I believe they'll come back. It's once appointed unto men to die. Bible don't lie. And the Bible says something about two witnesses coming back over there in the book of Revelation that's going to prophesy 1,260 days, something clothed in sackcloth. And a lot of Bible scholars believe that's Elijah and Enoch. And I'd say, well, it might just be. Amen. And some think it's Moses and Elijah, but whatever that is. But the first resurrection has to do with our position in Christ. You see, Christ's resurrection positionally is recognized as the first resurrection. And so you and I have part in the first resurrection. For instance, the Bible says in Colossians, I believe it is, chapter 3? If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on the things of the earth. And so what he's saying is our position in Christ is as though we were already risen with him. For your life, he said, you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you appear with him. So this great hope that we have, my friend, if it's just in this life only, we'd be of all men most miserable. Look at our condition. Our condition is that we're still in this old flesh. I have aches in places that I didn't even know I had places. The older I get, I have pain in all of those places. Not only that, but listen, I have heartaches, heartache after heartache, and I see the suffering that's going on, and I empathize with people and I see the hurting that they have. And my goodness gracious, we see the hurting, the physical pain that folks have. But I see different kinds of pain somewhere. I see people that's got pain where you can't get a prescription from the pharmacy. That pill won't take care of it. The surgeon's scalpel can't reach it. It's pain after pain. And this is our condition. We're still in the flesh. But our position, our position in Christ is as though we were already risen, sitting with him in heavenly places. If in this life only we had hope of Christ, we'd be a moment. So what is our hope? What is our hope? It is the resurrection. In 1 Peter chapter 1, I believe it is verse 3, he says this: Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein he said, you greatly rejoice, though now, if need be for a time, you are in heaviness through the manifold temptations that's to try you, knowing that the trial of your faith, being more precious than gold, though it be tried with fire, might be found under praise and honor and glory at the appearing of our Lord. Whom, the Bible said, whom having not seen, you love. And though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have desired to look into, which prophesied before unto us about the sufferings of Christ and the glory that was to follow. And so tonight I get to thinking about this, this hope that we have in us, this hope that we have as an anchor for our soul. What in the world, when everything that falls comes falling, tumbling down around you, and Christians, when there's every obstacle that comes up against you, what is it that keeps you going? My goodness, I'm so glad for faith tonight, aren't you? I'm glad. I was thinking there. It came to, I'll throw this in. It may not add up, but listen to me. In the great faith chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible says, by faith, we'll go to Sarah first. By faith, Sarah received strength to conceive and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. And there sprang therefore of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars in the sky for multitude, and as the sand which is on the seashore is innumerable. Now listen to what it said. These all died in faith. When I die, I want to die in faith. Amen. Charlotte, don't you die, let me die until I tell you I've got faith. Amen. Amen, amen. I done told her about that. John 3:16, I got faith in that. I signed my name where it said, whosoever will. I believe that, you know, what is it? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, Kermit Phillips. Got that there? I told Charlotte, listen, honey, you don't have to bury one of my Bibles. I've got Bibles scattered everywhere. And I've got one that I wore out, my study Bible. But I said, if you can't put a Bible in it, you just go over there and get one where it says John 3:16. I want you to cut that out. Take a pen, and where it says, whosoever, write Kermit Phillips. Kermit Phillips. Kermit. Hey, I believe that he died on Calvary's cross for me. Amen. And he said, may have everlasting life. I've got everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But I digress here. These all died in faith, having not received the promises, but having seen them afar off. What is that? They looked away down yonder. They looked away down yonder, and they saw something. And bless you know what they saw, what they believed in? They believed in the resurrection. They believed that there's going to be a resurrection. Praise God. And I do too. Amen. And that's what I have for an anchor of the soul. I believe that there's going to come. Listen to me. And that keeps me going on and keeping on when I don't feel like keeping on. That'll keep you, bless God, just to think. Man, that one of these days, our loved ones that's done going on, you hear what he said? If in this life only we had hope of Christ, we'd be all men most men. Them that sleep in Christ, those them that sleep in Christ are perished. If it's only in this life, we're never going to see them anymore. My goodness gracious, I don't believe I could stand at the funeral of another saint and preach if I thought that was the final curtain, Brenda. I couldn't face tomorrow. But praise God, listen to me. There is going to be a resurrection. I'm looking for it. I'm believing in it. I surely, oh Job, if there wasn't a resurrection. You know what kept Job going? Somebody said, oh, that we had the face and the patience of Job. You know what happened to Job? Bless God, I said, I pray that nothing like that ever happens to any of us. In one day, Job became a rich man. The Bible said he was the greatest of all the men in the East. He had accumulated a lot of goods. He became wealthy. And cattle and sheep and camels and all of that. And in one day, all of that was wiped out and taken from him. And not only that, he had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and they were taken the same day from him. And bless God, when that happened, Job put on his sackcloth. He probably shaved his head, and he got down on the ground, and he said, "The Lord God hath given, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Now, I don't know if I can do that. I hope my faith. I pray that I'd have some kind of faith. But what kept him going, bless God? And you know, when his comforters come, and I tried to convince him that he sinned somewhere. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. You may be going through a hard time, and the devil will tell you, that's your fault. Something you done caused that. Boy, he loves to do that. Something you done. But there are some things that happened to you that you can search the Bible from cover to cover, and you can't find an answer for why or what's going on in your life. But old Job, after death came knocking, you know the next chapter, the death came knocking at his door every morning. And Job, bless God, he kept holding on. And then he got to a place, he even cursed the day that he was born. Why did I not die in my mother's womb, and all of that. He was so distraught and so pressured. But then he asked the question in Job 14:14. He said, "If a man die, shall he live again?" Oh, and he said, all the days my change comes, he'll call and I'll answer him." And in the 19th chapter, I believe that same chapter, about verse 24 and 25, he said, Oh that my words were now written. Oh that they were printed in a book. Oh that with an iron pen and lead they were graven in the rock forever." He said, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he'll stand in the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." My friend Job, that gave him strength to go on, because no matter what happened, he said one place, he said, "Though he slay me, I'm going to trust him." Yeah, oh man, I'm telling you, faith, our hope, our faith is in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You realize, Brother Arnold, and I said this one time, been several years ago, and I was still in Indianapolis, Indiana. There's a fellow come on there, and he said, "There's no doubt." He was sophisticated. He was a Bible scholar. He said, "There's no doubt that one day over there in Israel, the excavators out there digging, he said, they'll uncover a tomb, and the skeleton will be in there. And he said, it'll have the nail prints and maybe even the nails still through his wrist and through his feet. And that will prove beyond any shadow of a doubt that Jesus lived." And I said that day, I looked at that television, I said, "Listen, if they uncover a skeleton over in Israel and they can prove to me beyond a shadow of a doubt that it was Jesus of Nazareth, if they can prove to me that he's the one that hung on the middle cross and poured out his life's blood for me, if they can prove that to me," I said, "I'll throw my Bible away and I'll never preach again." But praise God, they can't prove that, because he did die on Calvary. Amen. He was buried. But praise God, on the third and appointed morning, he came forth from the grave, resurrected. Amen. The resurrection. My hope. Your hope. I believe it's what David wanted, or what David believed in. 23rd Psalm. I love that psalm on any occasion. We use it a lot on funerals. Hey, man, that's good anytime, isn't it? Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restores my soul. I believe that means more than just He refreshed me. He restoreth my soul. My soul is going to go back to, man alive, I wish you'd get this. My soul is going back to the Lord when I die. And on resurrection morning, when the trumpet sounds on rapture day, amen, that soul, the spirit, wherever I'm born, glory to God, hallelujah, this place right out here behind the church, on resurrection morning, I don't know if we'll see the souls coming down, but praise God, when they go up, we're all going to go up together. Hey, listen to me this morning. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for Thou art with me. We got to get to the place where we say, devil, You can't kill me. You can't kill me. You may snuff this body out, but You can't kill me. That's good, isn't it? Not to be. Amen. You can't kill me. My soul will go back to the Lord. He said, He leads me. They though I walk through that valley and the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. For Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. Well, that anointing. I tell you, when I don't go much by feelings because my feelings change like the weather. But boy, or every now and then, when I get just right, and I begin to feel that anointing power of the Holy Spirit, man, I just want to stay here a while. I mean, He anointed my head with oil. David said, my cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And this is it. And He said, I shall dwell in the house of my Lord forever. What a blessed hope. That's what keeps me going. The hope in the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Do you know this resurrected Lord? I tell you, it's not always. Somebody comes to piano. I just told you I'd give you 10 minutes of my message. If I get to be blessed to come back, I'll take that in 10 minutes more. But the hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. This is the hope. I don't have hope in Washington, D.C. Amen? I don't have hope. I don't have hope in my bank account. Charlotte said it's a good thing. Amen. I don't have hope in anything in this old world. But I have hope in the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And let me just throw one more thing in there before I give it to them. That psalm that I just quoted, He maketh me. My young people say that's not even our language. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. He leadeth me. I like that He maketh and He leadeth. Amen. I mean this revised version stuff. Folks, listen to me. We don't need to rewrite the Bible. We need to reread it.
Amen.
Amen. I like that poetic verse in there. Would you? I read some of them, and some of them are pretty good translations, but they just don't sound right. So you can tell I'm old school, can't you? Put your faith and trust. That was it. Paul said, a death, burial, and resurrection. Just on Romans 10, 9 and 10 goes right along with this. It says, what is it? The word is nigh thee, even thine heart and thy mouth. It is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou, and I like that thou too, shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shall believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you ever, the devil comes around making you doubt, go over there and quote that to yourself three or four times. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness. You know what that means? Simply means you believe it so much that you start doing right. You change your direction in life. You really believe that He rose again from the dead. And believe it strong enough, I'm telling you what, if you're a drunkard, it'll make you quit getting drunk. Thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's my hope. That's my hope. Blessed resurrection of Jesus Christ. What's your hope? They stand while they sing.
My soul cries out.
Oh Lord, how long?
Lord, how long?
Father, thank you tonight.
Till my toiling.
I thank you.